Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Snowcast. Look lads, Jesus Christ, Owen, I say we haven't recorded together in 6 weeks.
I'm back!
listeners don't realise that you weren't there for the recordings at the pub, so like as far as they're concerned, you were never gone. Like.
No, sure, I've been dicking about the country, like I don't know where I've been, like just breaking lockdowns left, right and centre, that's what I've been at. Yeah, guess who's back. But yeah, good to be back. Good to be on what will hopefully be our last distance podcast.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be our last one in terms of like, you know.
Last one before we hit a pub like.
But I think like, yeah, I think the whole lockdown has been a game changer going forward for a lot of things and maybe even the podcast as well. And it might actually open up our minds to fucking, you know, different types of podcasts. Just like, you know, if you're a new listener to this podcast, the last two episodes, The Last Call, like very different, not your conventional Snowcasts. Just like none of these Zoom calls are your conventional Snowcast, you know, because we are a podcast that's USB is being recorded in an Irish pub or a pub or wherever we are over a couple of pints and just some pub chat. So trying to have that pub chat over Zoom has been different and a challenge for us, but the last two is something very different that we've done. The Last Call is a little mini series where we talk to publicans who have been affected by COVID, who aren't serving food and have stayed closed until
21st of September. Oh my God! Write it down. That'll be in the diaries for years.
And like,
that'll be like the day the Ice Age ended, you know.
You know the way like Arthur's Day had to be cancelled because lads were like, you know, just going around the place stark naked. They were so drunk and stuff like, you know.
Actually, that was around that time, wasn't it? That was around the same time, Arthur's Day.
Because wasn't Arthur's Day like just nearly like the week after Freshers Week when we were in college?
Reckless, yeah. Like, jeez. That'll be some comeback now for Guinness if they like relaunch Arthur's Day on the 21st.
Yeah. I think Peter from the Port Leash Pub Club actually took an old dig at the vintners. It was brilliant there today on social media. Just saying like, you're all going around holding pints of Heineken Guinness, but like, you know, where are the local breweries and on the newspapers, which is great. But so on that team, I'm like, the 21st of September is in and around our birthday as well, isn't it? Like the podcast's birthday too.
Oh, it is. Fuck.
I'm going to say it is. Like it probably isn't, but we're now claiming the 21st of September. And the other thing I want to say, right? The last call was where we spoke to pubs. We talked about, you know, what the pubs, the history was like. If you haven't listened to it, please go back and do, because we put an awful lot of work and effort into it.
You put an awful lot of work and effort into it.
I'm giving you credit. Like,
thanks, man.
And you know, we're actually very proud of it. I think it came together very, very well. and the publicans are so say it so much better than we could. But to talk about the history of the pubs, they talk about how COVID has affected them and what they think it's going to be like going forward. And I'm just saying this now on, I reckon Chief Medical Officer for Ireland, Ronan Glynn, and the Minister of Health, Stephen Donnelly, must be loyal listeners, because he put out episode 2 last week, and this week they announced the pubs are opening again. So I reckon they listen to Marie Mellet, they listen to Mike McMahon, they listen to Tom Ryan, they listen to
Ed Cahill.
They listen to Four Provinces, they listen to Kilty Lynn, and they turn around and they've said, "No, fuck it, we have to open the pubs now."
They're fucking dead right, like, Jesus Christ. Oh my God, what a hardship it's been. Like, I've just missed like this kind of camaraderie and stuff. Like, me and you had an old meal out there last week, and it's probably the first time that we had like any bit of crack. Now, we had an almighty bit of crack there that night there in Bodega in Waterford. Went out for a nice tasty meal and a few tasty pints and stuff. And it was great. It was kind of great, like, getting that, like, hustle and bustle. But, like, you know, you're being served by a waitress. You don't get that bit of crack off her as much, you know. You know, it's nice, like, even times I've gone into Grady's Yard over the last while, like, you have, like, the bartenders coming down. And I know it's going to be table service again, but, like, I feel that the publicans are going to do their utmost to, you know, keep up that kind of sense of community that is involved in the pub, like, you know, coming down, asking how you are, a bit of crack, a bit of banter between you. So I'm really looking forward to that, like, just sitting down without having to order a big plate of chips.
I really want to come back to the element of table service in a second. But before we crack on, I really want to know, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm on.
It looks good on the camera here now. Like, listeners, I know you can't see, but it looks fucking tasty from where I'm sitting.
I'm on a concoction by Yellow Belly Beer and Heaney Brewery, and it's an orange and rosemary wit entitled "I'm Too Old for This Wit," and yeah, oh, it's really nice. Yeah, really, really fruity, really citrusy. And just really light, like, you know, it's not as carbonated as kind of like some of your IPAs and stuff, like, where you'd be getting fizzed out of it. Like, it's actually really smooth. I have a little taste of it here.
I think a whiz is, like, you know, anyone who attended those virtual beer festivals with Brian Cahill over the summer would have known that, like, there's a fierce demand out there amongst Irish craft beer enthusiasts for different styles, and wits are a style that we don't see often enough in Ireland. I think, like, sounds lovely. Like, I haven't had one yet, but I think we'll give a shout out again to Worldwide Wines in Waterford and the Plint.
Oh, the Plint! God, dear God Almighty!
We went on Tuesday after work. We went and had a look at the Plinth, and you picked up that weight. And again, like, shout out to Yellow Belly and Heaney. Again, the artwork is brilliant, and just the thought and cleverness that goes into the naming of the drinks, like, is I absolutely love it.
Just a shout out, Worldwide Wines. Yeah, we can't give them enough shout outs, but oh my God, like, just. Like, I think it's that kind of selection of beers. So you got a 5 for 16 euro deal?
Yeah.
So, like, all your top shelf there is just a smorgasbord of cans that you can just choose freely. And I love the way they're all dotted around. It's not even, like, done by brewery. It's nearly done by, like, colour of can or something. Yeah. Like, it's just all over the place, dotted all over the place.
There's no rhyme or reason, like... But the other thing as well is, like, obviously we're big proponents of diversity and equality of opportunity here on the Snowcast, in all walks of life. But there's great diversity on the Plint, you know, diversity of brewery, diversity of style, just diversity of drink. Like, it's fantastic to go in and just, like, you should be quite simple. You're going in to buy 5 cans. Like, it'll be a fairly simple process.
They were in there about 20 minutes, were we?
Yeah, it turns a 5-minute simple process into just this wondrous 20-minute adventure of trying to pick out cans. And I put up on the Instagram story the other night, the Snowcast Instagram story. If you're on Instagram, give us a follow at Snowcast. We're not as active on it as we should be, but when we are active on it, it's usually some nice beer or a bit of crack or us drunkenly talking shite.
Oscar Hilgar or something.
Yeah. But I put up the other night, I had a Wicklow Wolf Elevation Pale Ale. Top-notch beer. That got some love on the Instagram story the other night. A really, really good beer. But what I'm drinking tonight is one of my highlights of the summer. And I suppose this plays into the pubs reopening. It's a beer that if the pubs never closed, I probably never would have gotten around to drinking because I don't drink it much at home. Pre-COVID, me didn't drink much at home. I don't know, will that change now? I don't know. It's something that's really sticking in my craw, whether like literally I've had so many good beers this summer that I simply would not have had if I was going to pubs in Waterford and Kilkenny and Laois and not going to pubs in other parts of the country, as opposed to buying off a mega plint in Worldwide Wines or buying off that amazing fridge range that they have in Arkeen stores or buying off beercloud.ie. So I'm on the Dead Center Brewing Teeny Tiny. A New England style IPA. You've got Citra, Eldorado and Idaho 7 hops in it. Top notch. I've had it on the podcast before. I've spoken about it before. It's just a real fruity, juicy, super sessionable, really drinkable pale ale. I absolutely fucking adore it. It's one of my highlights of the summer. And like Dead Center Brewing, they're a top brewery. As I open another can. They're a top brewery. And we just don't see enough of them in the Southeast. On draft, so that's something that you know, the summer has been brilliant for opening my eyes and my taste buds to breweries and beers that I wouldn't have experienced. So if there's one positive to come out of this COVID shenanigans, it's just the range and depth of beers that I've been able to drink this summer, because my habit has changed from going and drinking what Phil Grimes, Grady's Yard, Tully's, JK Walsh's, Downs's have on tap, to me being able to pick and choose from a plint because I'm going to drink at home, you know. And it's just a super beer, and I just thought it was worth mentioning that, you know, going forward, pubs are about to open. I suppose it might be a good segue, Owen, to talk about. You would have drank a little bit more at home than I would have in the past. Do you think going forward that you will be reaching for the plint as often as you'll be reaching for the pint?
Yeah, maybe actually. I think actually just maybe just bring it back there on the kind of that can culture, I suppose. What I'd kind of like to see is what I'd love to see really actually is restaurants around Ireland kind of embracing the local brewers and the local cans that they supply, like, you know. And wouldn't it be great if you could get, like, you know, go into a restaurant and like not know what cans that they'd have. Like they just had a rotating kind of series of cans, or, you know, just whatever was new. Like imagine like say teaming up with like Yellow Belly or whoever and just having like just fucking random cans that they have just coming out. Like I'd love to go to a place like that where, like, you know, I know in fairness that a lot of restaurants now will have teamed up with maybe a local brewer. But I'd love to see just like, you know, something that were like, they didn't even have a menu. They just had a chalkboard or something and just got the cans up and again. So I'd love to see that kind of culture kind of being embraced a bit more and kind of, you know, that little bit of messing around with cans. Like that's the thing, I suppose, that you've touched on there. It's like that kind of whole thing of, exploration of cans and exploration of taste that I probably didn't really before lockdown at all. I would have just gone in and maybe got like the few usuals, or, you know, got a box of something or whatever and been kind of tipping away on those. Like, whereas I think now that's kind of really opened my eyes to, like, you know, going along. And even actually another brainwave, what about like, even if like breweries started promoting their cans, I mean, like, okay, this will go well with a steak, this will go well with chicken, whatever, and like trying to push it to, you know, different spots. Like, I think that could be awesome, wouldn't it?
I actually, on that team, I actually had a discussion on Monday night last with a guy who runs a gastropub in the West, of Ireland. And I was talking to him about this, and he said, like, you know, his clientele would tend to want to drink the same old stuff every now and again, but he does get people in who are like, oh, what else do you have or whatever? And I was saying to him, I said, look, would you not do maybe like do something where you have a variety of craft beer cans in a fridge? And when someone comes in and they don't know what they want to drink, you just say, right, we have this lucky dip where you, whatever you order with your food, we give you any can and you give it for like a discount price for the lucky dip, but they have to try something and it's locally produced or it's an independent brewery. And you're like, you're ordering your steak or whatever. And you're like, what do you want to drink? I'm not sure. Look, we have a lucky dip. You can have a drink from our fridge of madness for €4. Like, you know, it's locally independently brewed beer. And then with the meal, then they get like, you know, a random drink with them. If you have your staff well enough trained on the beer, like they'll know if someone's ordering a steak, they give an accompaniment beer that'll complement it. And I just think something like that, maybe just to stimulate interest. But I think you're right. Like, it needs to come. The restaurant industry, I think, does need to help support the independent brewers a bit more as well. I know some places are quite good for it. But then, like, you know, I think as well, even with a meal, like, is a pint of Heineken or a pint of Guinness great with a meal? Probably not.
Yeah, no, probably not. Like,
that's it. A pint of Smittix with a meal, possibly not ideal. But what I would say is, like, I think, you know, some of the food that we, some of the drinks that we drink go really well with food as well. And people wouldn't necessarily place it. And maybe even for people who might not necessarily like that drink on a regular, if they're going out for a couple of pints, it might be the ideal drink for them with a meal, you know? So I think people need to, I'd love to see people opening their minds more restaurateurs. I think you hit on a great point there, Owen.
Yeah, I'd love a little bit of messing around. Like, just, you know, just a little bit of fucking, I don't know, like, just for pubs to come along and, or, but not even pubs, but for restaurants come along and just messing around with like their beer selections and stuff like that. Like, I think it'd be an awesome option. Like, I love that kind of, just, you know, I think as well, like, with restaurants, there can be a thing whereby you go to a restaurant and there is a bit of comfort of knowing like what you're going to get there. But I love ones where like they kind of change up the menu and sometimes even the special is the thing that you'll always look to straight away. Reminds me of like, say, like tapas restaurants and stuff like that, where you're going in and you're like, oh, what's new here now? Like, just so many, like, they nearly changed the menu the whole time. Like, you know, I think just something like that and kind of a beer faculty could be, yeah, top drawer.
Yeah, there's definitely opportunities there. But I think that's the one thing lockdown has showed me, is like that there's so many beers out there beyond what I would get to taste if I'm just drinking in a pub. And it might change my habits. I tend not to drink at home. Pre-COVID, I tend not to, as I said many times on the podcast. But the likes of Teenage, like, the breweries are giving us such good beers that we're tasting throughout the summer.
Yeah.
It's really hard to then turn your back on them and go back to, you know, a narrower window of beer opportunities that we have in the pubs in the Southeast.
But say even like that, like, where are you going to get, like, obviously we have Grady's Yard and we might get it there, but like, where are you going to get like matcha green tea, like beer anywhere else other than like being able to buy a can of it, like, you know? And so it's like, it's that little like fucking messing around being like, what the fuck is this going to taste like? I want to try this because this could be amazing or it could be an absolute fuck up or whatever. But like, I still want to try it. I want to like know what this is going to be like. Like, even there, like, I'm like, this orange and rosemary wit. Like, I had a notion what that was going to be like. And it's class, like, you know. I just like, even that one that I had last night by Galway Bay. Oh, it's fucking, actually, I can't remember. I took a little photo of it. It was the Oregon Grown IPA. And it was like three different types of hops, Strata, El Dorado, and Idaho 7. And oh my God, it packed such a punch. And
yeah,
juicy, like, punchy bastard of a thing.
Very, that's gas, because like the teeny tiny, in terms of hop profile, is if you remove the Strata from that and put in Citra, it's the same profile with Idaho 7 and El Dorado, which are great hops. I had a really good point to make there on something you said. I've lost my train of thought, but it was on the Yellow Belly stuff there, you see, with the Magic Green Tea Beer and stuff like that, and some really cool stuff. Like, this is something that has brought, like, you literally brought me back to going in the door of Phil Grimes and Tom seeing us come in and his eyes lighting up because he's got a beer that he wants us to try. And I think if you can develop that relationship with your local barman, if they do serve craft beer or independent Irish beer, that would, like, when they get a beer that they're excited about in and they see someone who's willing to try something new, I never realized until I spoke to Tom about it when we were doing the last call, and I spoke to him like either side of it, and Tom, who was so generous to us with raising money for the Solar Center as well. Like, when I was talking to him about that kind of stuff, like, realizing that us showing that interest made such a difference to him and gave him such professional satisfaction as a barman and as someone who was a purveyor of independently brewed beers. Like, if you can develop that relationship with your barman, it goes a long way, and it actually makes a significant difference to them as well, which is great. Speaking of which, and that experience, as Owen changes his background on Zoom to Davy Max, I think that is it.
Yeah, Davy Max, yeah.
Davy Max in Waterford. I just wanted to say, like, you mentioned table service there earlier on. I happened to be up in Leash there this evening, speaking to Nia's father, who was telling me about an experience he had the other night where he had a couple of pints.
Yeah.
And he literally said to me, he was like, we sat down in the front bar, we sat at a table and it was table service. And he said, "'Tis not worth a fuck, but it's better than nothing." And I agree with him. And he hit the nail on the head. But yeah. Tom is a man that, like, if it's not a high stool at the bar, he's not usually interested.
Yeah.
And it
does bring into question, though, like the table service will be great for the likes of us who will probably be going in pairs or a group into a bar, and we can make our own fun. We can have a few chats. But, like, the guy who goes in on his own and, say Phil Grimes now, like, the amount of times that we've been in there where we've gone in as a group and we could be the only two in there with Tom, right? And then one lad comes in, he sits up the bar beside us. Then another guy comes in, he sits up to the bar. Now they know each other and they're going chatting away, but they didn't organize to, like, they didn't come in as a group. They didn't organize to meet there. They just came in because they wanted to chat and, you know, and, like, different lads. And then we could be there another day and it'd be one of those guys and then a different guy would come in. So you'd have, you know, they're not planning these things. It's not as if this is exactly, but I suppose to summarize my point, it's like, what happens, like, do those guys now have to organize themselves as a group, or will it be to the barman's discretion that, like, all right, like, the, you know, you can go sit in that group with, you know, you can sit in the, at that table with that man, like, you know, because I know the two of you now, you're whatever, like, you know.
See, you're just,
and that kind of puts an awkwardness about it, because you don't want to be sitting beside someone. You want to be within the bar situation. You want to be up on the high stool at the bar talking to everyone and no one at the same time.
Yeah, the spontaneity is part of the magic, isn't it, a lot of the time?
Yeah.
This is where I think there's a bit of a trick being missed. Like, you take the pub that, if I was up in Neave's local village in Ballyroan and Leash, and I was going for a pint with Tom, and we were meeting Noel, her brother-in-law, in one of the three bars in the village. It could be any of the three bars. It was, say, Delaney's, right? Yep. You went to this bar. It's country bar, big square around the bar where all the high stools are, and then there's lounge seating around it. But nobody sits in the lounge seating. Now, the thing is, the bar is so big and open, and there's, like, there would never be more than a dozen people in it.
Yeah.
That you could actually maintain a 2 meter social distance with eight people sitting on a high stool around the bar.
Mm.
You could.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm thinking here, like, right, I get the table service, but the people who are coming up with these rules and who have come up with the rules since back in May and June and July when we were doing pub watch and stuff. The people who've come up with these rules are thinking of the Temple Bar. They're thinking of the big bar in the city. They're thinking of the nightclub situation. They're thinking of many situations. And it begs the question of, should you allow certain bars, should you differentiate between, say, types of bars? And the thing is, like, they already have, so there's precedence for this, because they already have, when they've said pubs that can serve €9 substantial meals can open, and pubs that can't. And initially you had to have a kitchen, and then it developed that actually, no, it's fine. If you can get a piece in from the place down the road, that's fine. And as we found out in the last call series that we did, that doesn't suit everyone, especially in rural Ireland.
Yeah.
Yet in rural Ireland, I think the pubs in rural Ireland are less likely to be havens for transmission of the virus, because like six owl lads sitting in a bar where they're sitting 2 meters apart anyway, as I said to someone during the week, like, to be quite honest with you, in some of these bars in the countryside, if you got within 2 meters of someone pre-COVID, you'd get a box anyway for being in their personal space. You know? So a part of me is thinking, if you can do high stools, maintain 2 meter distance, and why can't you do high stools and maintain a 2 meter distance?
Yeah. I was actually, when you were talking there, I was kind of imagining like the old lad in the corner just spluttering away like, but then I saw a tweet there the other day, and it was about like the way churches were kind of nearly one of the first to be able to reopen, like, you know, and they were like, aren't churches the coffeeest of venues?
Not wrong. I did just for a quick segment before we come back to the table service there, like, do you know when we were younger, like, if you'd go to mass, like, sometimes you try and start off the cough.
Oh, stop.
Like, you're just giving out and wait for the next person to do it, like, try and trigger it.
I hate, you know, it's definitely happened with you, like, you know, with a big group of brothers, but I would have had it with my cousins as well, like, where, you know, they cop on to what you're playing at, like, you know, and then like the fits of laughing, and then obviously, because mass is like literally the worst place to start laughing, like, it makes it all the worse where you just cannot stop laughing.
Yeah. I used to love a good old and ironically, because I've been socially distancing, there's absolutely nothing in my nostrils. Like, that's just airflow hitting off bone. But you know what? When you usually have a small bit of residue snot, like, or something, because you've been mingling with other people.
A snurgler, yeah.
Because you've been living a filthy, non-social distant life. You normally have a bit of gawk there, like, you know what? Just do it. And then you just wait for someone else to do it. Used to get me through mass when I was younger. But yeah, just on the table service, I think the thing is here, like, the amount of individuals, and like, it's not even all men, like, they're, you know, throughout rural Ireland, there are men and women who their only social outlet is to go for a pint and a quiet pint, or sit on a high stool, as we say, and there's 3 or 4 others around the bar, and they can maintain social distancing. And I do think there's a bit of a trick being missed here. I think if you can maintain that social distancing on a high stool and protect the bar staff, I really don't see how that's any more dangerous than, you know.
Yeah, I think I put up a photo there a while ago of the Doll Bar in Galway, where they had like this like plexiglass sheeting that was like on the bar. So it was like, so say like there was about maybe a pint's worth of a distance, of a gap underneath the plexiglass that you could pass the pint underneath. But like the rest of it was like, you know, complete like see-through screen. And it, you know, it allowed you, like, I think that could be like a, you know, some sort of way to get around it. Like, you know, if you put up those kind of plexiglass screens that, and, you know, and had a good bit of distance between the people, because like, you know, then you're able to have the lads sitting up at the bar, really, it's the bartender that's kind of trying to be protected in this instance, isn't it? Like, you know, because they're kind of dotting everyone, like, you know, they will segment everyone around the bar and separate everyone out. Like, but it's the barman really that's the potential kind of catcher of the virus. So, yeah, like, I think if you had a screen like that up, that it definitely would.
Do you know what came to mind when you were talking there? It's one of my favorite pictures that we've ever taken doing these podcasts was J.K. Welch's. You know, their snug has, it's not open.
Oh, it's a little hatch.
Yeah, just a little hatch.
Yeah.
And you know, wouldn't it be great? Like, I think we jokingly said it a year or two ago about doing a pub that was just like a bar, and then there was little, it was just nothing but snugs around it.
Yeah.
And hatches. And we joked about that, like, before, like, would it work as a business or as a pub?
It looks, I saw a tweet by Mother Max there today, and it looks as if they're nearly going down that line. They've kind of like constructed a few little snugs around the spot.
And they're, it actually wouldn't be, I don't think it's that bad, because you know what, there's it's the kind of thing, like, I think bars will have to give more variety, varied experience to people now. I think they'll have to have, every bar will have to have a couple of snows, I think, at this stage, and a couple of communal areas for when things are better.
Yeah, I know, because I was talking to someone there today, and they said, look, it's not going to be the same, but I can't wait for 21st of September, you know? So yeah. I think it really summarizes it that, like, it is needed, like, and like, it's not only needed for the people to go back to the pubs, but it's desperately needed by the publicans as well, yeah. Both like financially and I think just mentally, in order to be just doing something, like going back to doing what they love, like meeting people again. Like,
I think that's very important, because I think the one thing I garnered from speaking to them all, and like, this is the stuff that I got off mic, from
speaking. It was Mike.
Yeah. off microphone to Mike, and to all the publicans that we spoke to. The one thing I really got from them was, like, yeah, financially it's having a massive impact on them, and yes, their business is at risk, and their way of life is at risk, but ultimately, like, they're safe, and that's the most important thing. But it's that their entire way, the entire thing that gives them meaning has just been shut off from them. And it is the impact on their mental health that is important. And that's why I'm so keen to get back into a pub on the 21st of September. Now, as I put out in a tweet with the Snowcast today about Banshee Bones, I don't know if you saw it.
No, I saw it, yeah. Banshee
Bones are back, and I was like, can't wait to have a pint and a bag of bones again. Like, you know, because they're actually a brilliant accompaniment for a pint. And that might be a topic for another podcast. Like, you know, I think we've touched on it before, ideal accompaniments for pints in terms of crisps and stuff, but like Banshee Bones are definitely up there. Like, they're for listeners and Yank listeners and Brit listeners and further abroad, like Banshee Bones are basically this this like roasted maize type of crisp, that's salt and vinegar and flavor, and very vinegary.
Yeah.
Goes really well.
Burn the tongue off, you like.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And actually, we should also explain, like, a banshee is a fairy in Irish folklore who arrives when somebody dies, and you can hear her call. And
actually, made famous by Darby O'Gillen, the Little People.
Yeah, and there's a couple of family stories that include the banshee that are quite good. You might hear them at the weekend on. And there's also Blind Boy wrote a brilliant short. One of his short stories is a brilliant one about fingering the banshee. So, like, you know, it's a well addressed Irish folklore character.
So forgot to say. So this is obviously your last single podcast.
Yeah.
Your man. Oh my God.
The podcast we'll release after this is recorded about a month ago with Shane McNally. So, like, I'm kind of laughing. I'm saying, like, you know, it's my last podcast as a single man. But the next one you'll be listening to, I was single then. So looking forward to that. But more importantly, Banshee Bones. I just, like, you know, these kind of accompaniments is great. But the one thing I did say as well is I can't wait to support pubs who are going to do it right. And do it so that we're all safe when we do it, and that we can enjoy a pint. And like you said, it won't be the same, but at least we'll be able to give back to publicans as well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I can't wait for that. Do you have any questions now lined up, or can I throw out a question?
Go on, throw one out there.
So, Leaving Cert results have came out there on Monday, right? What did you do the night of your Leaving Cert results?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't remember.
I think, so I think we had like some sort of mass or something, some sort of celebration or do thing in the school, like, but sure, everyone was like fucking wellied, like, at the thing, like, so everyone was raring to go out, like, you know. So we brought cans and we stuffed them into the hedge outside the school beforehand. And then we tipped up to the, well, we had a few outside, I think, and then we tipped up to the mass, and then we came out and we collected our cans. And I think it was actually like a pick and mix, like, of cans. We were just robbing everyone's cans. Like, everyone had left them in the hedge, like, so we were just picking whatever cans were in the hedge. And then we went into the park, which is right across the road from our secondary school in Waterford. And then we just went drinking around the fountain there for a while. And then I think we went for, we went for a few pints then with the teachers in the Three Ships, went for a few pints of Guinness with the teachers. And it was quality. It was like the first time where you see all of the teachers as human beings and like having relaxed into themselves, like, you know. And like actually gowling and like buying new pints and all this, like, it was absolutely quality. You actually felt like an adult for the first time at that moment right there. And then we headed into town, I think, and we just got absolutely fucking plastered and just fell around the street, I think. And yeah, a few nightclubs and a few dancing and shifting and the rest, like, yeah. It was a good night though, and I do feel sorry now for the Leaving Cert students this year. I think there's a few kind of key milestones now that they're missing out on, like nights like that and Debs and things like that. Like, but lads, you'll be sound. You'll hit it later. Don't worry about it.
As you were talking there, I actually remembered what I did in my Leaving Cert night. I think this might bring you back on, because I think two of these bars that I went to. I mean, even sort of like basically shut down within a couple of months of us starting college in UCC in Cork.
All right, can I guess one?
Yeah, go on.
Bondi.
Yeah. I ended up in Bondi, but first I went to, actually, I think the signage and stuff for this bar, because I don't think it ever reopened again under any other guise. I think the signage is still up on the street, so see if you can guess the other one.
No, I haven't noticed.
I'll give you a clue, like, it's near the Castle Inn.
Oh. I don't know. What?
Reds.
Oh fuck yeah, Reds.
Oh, like complete dump.
Jesus, like, Christ.
I think Reds was closed down. Now this is complete conjecture. So, like, look, I'm fucking holding my hands up here saying this is complete conjecture. Allegedly, like, I don't know if this is again. I think Reds was actually closed down because they were serving minors and got caught a couple of times and they had to be shut eventually. But I went into Reds. I think I went, like, literally, there's a restaurant across the road from Reds. I think I literally went there for dinner with a couple of friends and went to Reds and then ended up in Bondi and think just got absolutely plastered. Because I got, like, my first choice on the CEO form and was just delighted. And I was like,
what was the name of that spot? It was there down near Paul Street, and it had, like,
Mankins.
Oh my god!
The two pubs. I don't know if you ever experienced the catwalk as well.
No, never. No.
Oh, the catwalk was an experience. Like, Mankins and the catwalk were great spots when you were 17, 18, 19.
I remember a story about Mankins. It didn't happen to me now, but it happened to somebody, but they were in Mankins and they were absolutely so ossified. So I think Mankins, I think I was there once, I think. So I don't have much of a recollection of it, but I think it was full of mirrors, was it?
Yeah, that was just going to say it to you. Yeah,
it's a mirror lifting center. So I think someone was up there and they were up the bar and they were, I think, maybe chatting away to the barman. And they were kind of leaning on the counter after they had their mind. And then, like, turned to their left and just started chatting away to this fellow beside them, who was actually just their reflection.
I'm laughing, like, you say that, but I'm like, there's a good possibility that was me. There's a good possibility that was me.
Oh, man, I was talking. That's so good. So good. Like,
do you know when you're in that phase of, like, you're still kind of going for drinks with your school, with, like, you know, not even your schoolmates, but, like, people that you, like, would have known from school, you just end up meeting in the usual places
at
school. So, like, I would have ended up in Mangan some nights when, like, you know, at the start of college, you know, when we would have been just getting to know each other and our other mates in college and stuff. So there was nights when I ended up in Mangan's where you might have ended up in other places. Like, and I just remember, like, just there, I don't even really remember. There's some brilliant nights there. Like, there were some of these, like, I love the way the pubs were reopening, so we're reminiscing about, like, absolute shitholes in Cork that, like, no longer open, but, like, it's very on topic for us. But, like, Mangan, there were some brilliant spots around Cork there where, like, you know, it was just, they were absolute kips, but they were our kips, you know. We went to them and just had the fucking best of times in them.
I know. And, like, you have to be absolutely no hassle about you. You get in, go absolutely bananas inside the place. I remember a time I was in Ruby's, which is now called, like, the Foundry or Factory, I think now it's called, in Waterford. And I just fell down the stairs, like two flights of stairs, just fully falling down. I was going into the smoking area or something, fell down the whole flight of stairs, like, and just got up the end, like, and just happy out, like, just right, hey, another point, please.
On that topic, I want to ask you something now, which is far, far removed from us talking about a lovely pint in Phil Grimes and Grady's Yard, or to this kind of topic about the likes of Factory or Actory, I think as it's called now, because someone stole the F. and Mangan's in these places. Like, our bouncers more dickheads now than they were 12, 15 years ago?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or do they just look at us as 30-year-olds acting the cowl and think,
yeah, no, we shouldn't be like, are we the dickheads? Maybe. But, like, I think you could be tainted by the fact that maybe it's the fact that places that are, like, over 21 or over 23 or whatever the age limit is, maybe might have stricter bouncers in place. I remember I was going into the Reg one night, and I was going in through one door, and I was literally wearing like jeans and a pair of like fucking runners or something and a t-shirt, like. And this group in front of me, you might have been with me, but there was a group in front of me who were going in front of me, and the bouncer went to him and he goes, "Nah, not tonight, lads. Like, there's a dress code in here, and no runners or whatever." And I was there behind me, like, fuck's sake.
I was with you.
Right, yeah. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, like. So then, like, I went up, oh, look, sorry, like, am I all right to go in? Like, he goes, yeah, not a problem. Those lads were just fucking out of their mind. Like, I just had to tell him something. Like, I was just like, oh, yes. It's just like, there is a way to deal with people, and you've nailed it right there. Like, completely unconfrontational and stuff there. But, yeah. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe aren't. Are they? What do you think? Do you think they're...
I've had a few run-ins with bouncers and like that.
Yeah, but maybe you're just after getting a bit more aggro or something, are you? Less breezy or something.
I think I'm after mellowing an awful lot, like, compared to what it was. But, like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that I kind of I probably always looked 30. And when I was 18 and looked 30, I don't know. I can't put my finger on. I don't know. I've had a few negative experiences with bouncers in the last kind of 18 months, 2 years that I never really had when I was younger. And I don't know. It was just interesting now, the kind of tangent and the off-topic shit that we went on today. But I just want to say, like, right, 21st of September, so is a goal for everyone now. We're all looking forward to it. I'll actually be on my honeymoon on a staycation as we enter into the 21st. I'll be going to Achill Island as the pubs open up, so I am fucking really looking forward to that.
Oh, nice.
So are you gonna tip straight in?
Well, I don't think I'll go in on the Monday, like, but
I might
head in on the Thursday, all right, the 24th or whatever. I'm not sure which pub I go to yet, but maybe a few.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it now. Because, like, you know, like people who've listened to all our episodes will know, like, we were very much conservative, public health first, a couple of months ago, and still are. But like, my mindset now is like, it's not really that I'm changing my tact, but I'm just looking at, ultimately, at the end of the day, the government and the people who make the decisions have decided now that we are going to live with this virus, and it's here, and we need to learn to live with it until there's either herd immunity, a vaccine, or it magically disappears like Donald Trump seems to think it is going to. So my mindset now is like, before, remember, like, in June, July, we were like, oh, we'll, when the pubs open, when we thought they were going to open at the end of July there, in the middle of July or towards August, we were saying, oh, we'll leave it for a couple of weeks and then we'll head in. Whereas my mindset's a bit different now. And I don't know, is it lockdown fatigue? Is it a sense of injustice for the pubs who haven't opened yet? But I'm a bit now like, I'm going to go somewhere, try it. And if I don't like it, I'm just going to walk out, because if I don't do it right. But if they're doing it right, like, fuck it. They need the business. They need my support. I feel like supporting them. I feel like it would do me some good to fucking go to a pub and have a pint. So I know, like, I'm contradicting what I've said in earlier podcasts when the pubs were due to open in July and August. I think there was a much bigger fear factor around COVID-19. And it's not to say that I'm more lackadaisical now. It's not to say that I'm less cautious towards the virus than I am now. But at the end of the day, like, society has decided we need to live with this thing. And living with it means you need to accept that your pub's going to be open, but it's going to be a different experience. It means accepting that you're going to be limited in what you can do. It's not going to be the same as it was before, but still doing those things, because if you don't, like, how long do we need lock ourselves in our house for otherwise? Is it going to be 2 years of me staying at home, not going to a pub? I don't think so. I think, like, you do need to learn your own way and what you're comfortable with in terms of living with the virus. Because that's, like, whether we like it or not, that's what the approach has been and will be. So I'm a bit kind of like, yeah, I need to get used to going to a pub that's not like it was before and appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, I think just to add to that as well, I think what has happened with the gastropubs and stuff has acted as a test case for what the pub situation is going to be like. Sure, like, look at the rules that are the guidelines that have been drafted for the pubs. It's just pretty much like a carbon copy of what has already been in place for the gastropubs. So any experience that you might have had already with a gastropub, going in and getting your meal and a drink served at the table, is going to be a similar situation. So I think from what we might have said earlier on in podcasts, where we were like, oh, we'll wait and see, like, I actually did wait and see when those gastropubs were opening, and like that acted as my test case. So I think, like, the pubs are just going, it's just going to act as the, like, that has acted as what the experience was going to be like for me. And I know the pub situation is a little different, but I'm still looking forward to it, and I'm going to go in optimistically, and I suppose open-mindedly to this new experience and to kind of embracing a new normal. I know, like, for now, it's not going to be the same as it was, but I'd like to, even it's kind of like a little kind of like change up for the books as to what you can experience in a pub. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, how publicans are going to react to it. And I actually say it's going to be different pub to pub. And that might be even an experience in itself, going around to each of these and just seeing how each publican is kind of tackling it and how they're kind of like creating that community feel in each pub. And yeah, I think that's, I don't know, it's exciting. It's exciting times. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think as well, like, the way they're talking, it's like, right, we're going to open all the pubs, and then, like, we're just going to be really quick to enforce localized lockdowns when there's outbreaks anywhere. And it's like, right, that's okay. Like, I don't mind that if it means the place has to lock down for 2 weeks to take control of the virus. But we
can't. Same with the pubs. Like, I think they should just close down a pub for a day, a week, whatever, revoke their next license if there's absolute fucking maggotry going on.
I think there needs to be absolutely fucking zero tolerance when it comes to maggotry.
Exactly, yeah.
Because one bad pub will ruin it for them all. It takes, you see with the fucking Berlin D2 Bear. I hate even saying their fucking name. Like, you see with that shit that went on, like, at the end of the fucking day, they were like, that kind of shit will ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just closing down.
But how much money are you going to make for that one day of acting the gowl when it takes one person to put it on Instagram, one person to put it on Snapchat or TikTok or whatever the fuck it is these days? And at one incident, then it's going to fucking ruin it for everyone else. Like, you're not going to, the money that you make on that day is not going to be worth it, because you're going to end up fucking closed down. And I think if you have a zero tolerance policy for it, and you turn around and you say, like, what's going on here is not safe, not right, and it's not fair under everyone else. And it's literally like, shut them down. Just shut it down. No tolerance. Because fucking Tom Ryan has been true enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
All the Republicans we spoke, they've been true enough. And they're going to, like, he's fucking, you see it, like, we talked to him. They're going to do it right. There's no, like, I will have absolutely no concerns going into Phil Grimes for a pint, because I've spoken to Tom. I know exactly the way he's going to do it. And I'm fucking bouncing to get in there. Whereas, look, if I walk into a pub and there's no social distancing and people are walking around the place and, like, you know, the barman is licking your cutlery, like, fuck that, like, get back out the door.
I know, and you used to be very fond of that.
I mean, I used to, when I used to get a pint, I used to ask the barman to lick the head of it, just to fucking, I know I didn't. yeah, but I'm really looking forward to it, and you know what, I think the one thing I'll say before we get into the end of this episode is, like, I think Pete from the Portage Pub Club hit the fucking nail on the head as well, though, today. And it's like the Vinteners, they're getting their opportunity now. Like, it's time for us to look after each other. And, like, Guinness and Heineken, Coors, I know they're staples, but you need to look after the small guys as well. You need to look after the independent brewer. So I would plead with pubs that might be listening to this, that if you don't stock an independent craft beer line, you know what, your 4% discount from Heineken or whatever it is for like blocking off all the lines, that's fine, but like that 4% the Heineken are giving you off is peanuts, whereas that line to an independent brewer could be make or break. So just please fucking back them, it'll be worth it. And if you don't believe us, listen to fucking Tom Ryan from Phil Grimes on the last podcast talk about the impact craft beer has had in his business over the last 10 years.
Good shout. Good end to the podcast. I like it.
Yeah. So, lads, look, you know, the crack. Follow us on social media, Snowcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to support the podcast, you're more than welcome to. Thank you to Marie, our latest Patreon, who went on to www.patreon.com/Snowcast. And is giving us a couple of pounds a month to help the running of the podcast. As we get more patrons now, as pubs start opening back up, we'll be able to go to pubs around the country like the ones we spoke to. Like, absolutely buzzing to get to Mother Max, to get to Mellet's Emporium, to get to the Kilteel Inn, to get to Four Provinces in Dublin, and to get to Tully's and Carlo as well, because we've been to Tully's and Waterford and Phil Grimes, but also to get to Tully's and Carlo to record a podcast, because it seems like a really cool bar. And even like, as I spoke to Fergal in Four Provinces, like off mic afterwards, like, I'd absolutely love to do a podcast in the Irish language with him up there. You know, like a little bonus one where we just speak Irish for the duration of the podcast. That'd be brilliant as well. Because that bar is bilingual, which is absolutely fantastic. If you haven't listened to The Last Call, please do, because it was a lot of effort and we're really proud of it, and it's really, really good, and the publicans deserve to be heard, and I'm just really fucking happy we were able to give them a platform. And Shane, Shane McNally, who is of the Stage Left podcast, I spoke to him about a month ago now, and there's some really, really relevant stuff about independent craft brewing and wine in it and stuff like that. So I'll get that audio. That'll be the next podcast out, because it's a great chat. And while an awful lot of the context around the chat isn't relevant anymore, the content is still really, really good. So we'll get that out as well in the next week. And any parting words for the listeners?
I suppose just we got a shout out there earlier on this week on the Angry Bartender Ireland podcast. So just to give those lads a listen there as well. So and any parting words? September 21st, baby. I'm all in.
Stay safe, stay hydrated with a pint.
Good luck, good luck, good luck.
Sláinte. Oh, shit. Instead of stop recording, I nearly ended the meeting instead of stop recording.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.